Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final from Arizona, and the results are not good as the Brewers fall in game one of this three-game set, 5-1 the final. And welcome in, everybody. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Tim Allen, there's the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and a 5-1 loss today. That snaps a 17-game losing streak for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ouch. There's a team, some people say that you want to play a team that's on that bad of a roll. I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, at some point, they're going to get that win, and you don't want to be that team. You don't want to be that team that loses, they were tonight. Arizona, I did not realize this. I mean, I knew it was bad for the D-backs, but I didn't realize it was, I knew it was a 17-game losing streak. I knew it was 24 straight on the road, but you expand that a little bit. They had lost 31 of 33 coming into this game. They had lost 40 of 45 games coming into tonight's ball game. 40 of 45, I mean, someone's head has to roll, don't you think? 40 of 40, that's over a quarter of your season. In 45 games, you lose 25% of your season in just over that. That's crazy. And coming into this game, they were 6-41 in their last 47 games. You're approaching the third mark. Pretty crazy, and it shows you how baseball goes. It also shows you how the Milwaukee Brewers 2021 offense goes. And it's going to be this roller coaster. And we've been on this roller coaster. There were some good times, a few here and there. Over the weekend, you did have a 6-run win. You had a 7-run win. So you did get the offense going a little bit there. That's Coors Field. Who cares? But you did get the wins there. And I think to a degree, yesterday's near miss of a loss, because it was right there for them to lose that game. That would have been a stunner, up 6-0 in that ball game yesterday. And they get the scare into them. I think that had a little residual in this game. I really do. It's just, you know, you come out of Colorado with a split for sure. But that was too close for comfort in yesterday's game. And, you know, maybe it did have an impact in tonight's ball game. No runs except the first inning. That's all you got, was an Avi Garcia base hit in that first for the lone run. Then 5 unanswered, and Brett Anderson leaves the game. Knee discomfort. That didn't look good. We'll get an update from Craig Council coming up in just a little while. But this roller coaster ride of the offense is pretty interesting. We do have a major league debut, by the way, and that's a good thing. Jake Cousins did come in to pitch in this game and pitched really well. Might he be the answer in that bullpen? We'll get to that in a little bit. We'll hear from Craig Counsell. But, you know, here's the deal on, you know, what occurred yesterday. They did DFA Zach Godley, as we discussed yesterday a little bit. No surprise there. I mean, I would be surprised if he pitches again in a Brewers uniform. I would. I don't know if they'll just outright him after he clears, but no one's going to, you know, claim him and give up something to get him. But here's the really the pickle that the Brewers are in here. You've got a six-man rotation, which does take away sort of a long man situation. They really don't have a long man out of the bullpen here right now. And you know, once in a while, your pitcher is going to have a clunker, or he's going to get hurt, and you're going to have to go to him. Without the long man here, you're subjected to piecemealing this all together when this stuff occurs. So I'm not sure that the six-man rotation is the way to go. The quicker, this is just me, the quicker they get out of the six-man rotation, the better in my book. I want the top five going every fifth day. I want these guys every fifth day. Now we'll have to wait and see on Brett Anderson's injury, but he would be considered the five guy. Let's say there is a given health here. I mean, I know it's a long stretch of games. I know you want to watch the innings, but I think there's ways to alleviate that in other ways because, you know, Eric Lauer, Zach Godley, and then you got to go with Richards, Hobie Milner, and try and piece this thing together. I don't know. I just think maybe go back to the five-man a couple of times through. Again, you can expand later on once you get back on track. You got to keep in mind Brent Suter, you know, normally would be that guy the last few years, but he's sort of elevated in his higher leverage stock, if you will. And that is, he's more of that sixth, seventh inning, maybe seventh, eighth inning, depending on workload out in that bullpen. So you don't have the Brent Suter that can soak up 2 2/3 to bridge that gap on a short start from the starter. They need a long man up here. I think I know his name, and you probably aren't going to like it, but that's the situation they're in, and his name is Josh Lindblom. I don't think we've seen the last of him up here at the big league level here in the 2021 championship season. Brewers still remain in first place tie with the Cubs. Cubs did lose today, so the beat goes on there. The fight continues in the National League Central. A little bit of separation here with the Cincinnati Reds. And that 73-game mark, we're 9 days, calendar days, maybe 10 calendar days from the halfway mark of this season. You think about that. I mean, things are going to start heating up here pretty good. Later on this week, you do have 100% capacity. You got some excitement at American Family Field coming up on Friday. You've got a bobble giveaway. You've got the Cubs in town next week. So as the Bucks are heating up, hey, the Brewers are slowly heating up, too, in terms of the calendar. So things are getting pretty exciting here in the city of Milwaukee. Let's get into our game recap here. Oh, by the way, we are going to have a conversation about the ball doctoring enforcement of the rule, which was reinstated or went into effect today. How about that? I mean, the rule's been on the books. And they don't have a good look, boys and girls. It just I don't know what you think of this, but did you watch some of the games today, some of the coverage earlier today, earlier tonight, and then obviously here in the Brewers Diamondbacks game? I can tell you one thing: my introduction to this is not good. I may have come up with a solution. I don't know if it makes sense or not, but we'll talk about that. In just a bit. You want to react to any of this, 414-799-1250. Some late night Brewers conversation. You know, over the course of 16 years of doing this, some of these late night games and conversations, Jeff, I don't mind it. I really don't mind it. It doesn't matter if it's 10 a.m. or it's 11 or midnight or 1 a.m. I've had some games, West Coast games over the years that because there was maybe a higher run output game, maybe it was just a slow worker, a couple of slow workers. Maybe it was extra innings. It was all of those things combined at times. I remember being on the air. I think the latest I was on the air for a Brewers postgame show in 16 years was just after 4 a.m.
Hey, why not? Keep the party going all night.
I have quickly found over the course of these 16 years that it's not a first shift world as much as it used to be.
No.
It used to be just, 9 to 5 and everything is just, chiseled around that sort of schedule. That's not really the case, guys. People have different schedules, and that's why I've always frowned on making bars close. I've always frowned on that a little bit because, hey, what if you're a third shift worker? What if you're a late second shift worker? What if you want to have a beer and a burger at 3 a.m.? That's your call, right?
It should be. Why not? If you're going to allow everybody to drink at 10 p.m., what's the difference at 4 a.m.?
Yeah, because I have a different schedule than someone else. I've always wondered that. Maybe for another conversation. Again, Craig Counsell coming up. Our conversation about the ball doctoring issue, which didn't look good today. I don't know if you guys believe in that stuff. I mean, I know they're trying to suppress, what's not natural in the game of baseball, if that's even the appropriate terminology, but it didn't look good. A little bit of a game recap here. First inning, Brewers get on the board. Life was good. It was a leadoff double by Colton Wong after a fly out and a ground out by Yelich. Wong ends up at third base. Avi Garcia, you want to play this highlight? It's our lone highlight, Jeff. We might as well play it.
Absolutely.
Avi with a bat in his hand, two outs, Colton Wong at third base.
And Garcia, a liner into left center field, a base hit. And once again, the Brewers get on the board in the opening inning. RBI knock for Garcia as Wong will score.
Yeah, they get on the board, one zip there. Brett Anderson, 1-2-3, bottom half. Couple of ground balls and a strikeout, 12 pitches. Life is good. Everything's fine. Brewers do not score in the second inning. Anderson roughed up and out of the game in the bottom of the second inning. Leadoff base hit, followed by a base hit, followed by a base hit to knock in a run, followed by, well, you guessed it, a base hit to load the bases, followed by, you want to guess again?
A base hit?
A base hit, yes. You got it right on the money. That scores another run. The Brewers trail at that point 2-1. That trail runner on that last base hit there was thrown out at the plate by Avi Garcia. Two on, two in, just the one out, and Anderson has to leave the game right there. What turns out to be knee discomfort. We'll get more details on that. That's not good. His last time out, let's keep this in mind. Brett Anderson came in with a 4.24 ERA. Just a tick lofty, but not out of control. He came in his last start going 7 shutout innings on just 1 hit and 9 strikeouts. So the potential is there, and we were hoping, obviously that he could get on a little bit of a roll. He gives way to Trevor Richards, who comes in. Richards walks the pitcher to load the bases, and Ketel Marte then with a base hit. 6 hits in the inning with a walk, 3 runs across. Richards then gets a strikeout, a chance to get out of it, goes full on Cabrera and gets a strikeout to end it. But again, they score 3 times, 6 singles in a walk. It should have been worse than that when you think about it. 6. There's 7 base runners right there, and you only score 3 times. So
yeah, it could have been worse. I wasn't watching with you, but I know you were coming out of your skin with that walk to the pitcher.
Oh, losing my mind.
I was too.
No more than 4 pitches. If I'm facing a pitcher, you get no more than 4 pitches. I'm going to I'm just going to take care of you right quick.
Yep.
I'm not going to screw around on the corners. I'm not going to screw around. You can you hit a fastball? Not if I can put it where I want it. If I put it where I want it, it takes me no more than four pitches. Maybe I underestimate a professional pitcher, a Major League Baseball pitcher. I don't think so. It works my pitch count up. I give the other guys a little more confidence if I'm screwing around with the pitcher here. Yeah, I don't like that part of it. You're right. 3-1, and it just stayed that way the whole time. Holby Milner gave up a couple of runs, and that locked it in at 5-1. Holby Milner did soak up another inning. At that point, it's just a war of attrition there for Craig Counsell trying to soak up some innings. That was a really short start for Anderson due to the injury, 1 1/3. Richards goes an inning and 2/3. Holby Milner, a couple of innings of work, giving up a couple of runs. Then you get to Jake Cousins, just called up today, making his major league debut. He's a former Washington National selection. I want to say 20th round in 2017. Was out of professional baseball. I guess it wasn't. He wasn't out of it. He was in the Frontier League for a while. And finally picked up just a couple of years ago, was a non-roster invite in 18 and 19 and for the Brewers, and has been with the organization. He's got good stuff. He struck out 5. He walked a man, hit a man, but his makeup looks good, and maybe that's the answer they've been looking for in that bullpen, Jeff, that the guy can gas 96, 97. He's got a nice slider. He looked good.
Yeah, he did look good. He, you know, what an outing. You know, when you strike out 5 and you hit somebody, that's awesome.
A
you know,
message sent.
You don't want the guys to get too comfortable in the box on you right out the bat. So that's great.
You did have another piece of positive news here. Jackie Bradley Jr. hit the ball hard a couple of times, had a double in the ball game. And there's another thing that, you know, I'll hold off till July 1st on a couple of players, JBJ being one of them. But I just want to point this out. Dude is playing more than anyone else on this team. And he, by qualification, is the worst hitting position player in the National League. Okay. You might, I understand the defense. I get that. And there's something to be said about that. I do understand a little bit of a better eye at the plate, little bit of a better eye at the plate in that 8-hole in front of the pitcher. I understand that. But my goodness, let's hold off till July 1st. It'll be Christmas in July on this show. I tell you what, this offense continues to do what they're doing right now. You want to listen on July 1st. Now they're playing on July 1st. So listen to the post game on July 1st if this continues. So they've got another, 8 games left or so.
Well, that's what's so frustrating with JBJ, Tim, is that when he does make contact, it's so pretty and he hits the ball so pure, but it just happens so rarely.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to watch. And I just wonder, I feel bad for him. I really do. I can feel bad for a guy making 12, 13 million a year. It's okay. But just, he wants to do better than that. And it just, it's not happening for probably various different reasons, but just cross your fingers, that there's some health for the Brewers and maybe someone catches fire. I don't know if it's a Derek Fisher, maybe Tyrone Taylor comes, off the IL soon and he starts getting a little of, additional playing time, but boy, it's tough to watch. It really is. And, you know, if you got to look at been on base 10 times in the last 8 games as a stat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and half of them are, little over half are walks. I mean, what does it say about the situation he's in? I'm rooting for him. We all are. And you're right. He's got just a sweet sort of pure sort of, it's just aesthetically pleasing to the eye when he does barrel up a ball.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's just unfortunate. Maybe they'll get a a big second half out of him. Let's cross our fingers there. All right, we'll take a break here. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell up next. What did you guys think of the ball doctoring enforcement that started today? We have a couple of things to say about that. That's up next. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. 5-1 loss here in game one. We'll be right back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan. Call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
Brewers fall tonight 5-1, the final. They muster up that run in that first inning, and Merrill Kelly just sort of fell into a groove, and that was that. Not a lot of chances here for the Brewers. Sporadic base runner here or there and Adames base hit. Nothing to show for it. And Luis Urias, a base hit, nothing to show for it. You get the double from JBJ, nothing to show for it. So you did scatter a few hits here and there. Really never multiple runners on base with none or one out, and just couldn't get things going. Clunker for the offense tonight, that's for sure. And the Arizona Diamondbacks snapped their 17-game losing streak with a victory over the Brewers. And, you know, your goal coming in had to be, well, obviously try and win every game, but two out of three was what I expect out of this series. So they've got some work to do. It's a big game for the crew tomorrow, that's for sure, to bounce back after splitting a four-gamer in Colorado. So Rob Manfred institutes the enforcement of foreign substances on baseballs, and we really haven't talked too much about it on this show just because I wanted to see how it shook out after day one. Today was day one, and we finally see what's happening here. Not a good look, Rob. It's not a good look. I think it's embarrassing. I think it's comical. I'm not super, super critical of Major League Baseball as a whole very much over the years. Never really have been. Just because I love the sport as a whole, and it is not as easy as us fans think at times. Just to, you know, have a negotiation with the players' union. That part of it to me is the easiest part, is getting together and communicating. You guys know this. Long-time listeners of me know that I'm a big believer in communication. Talk to people. Let's just have a conversation. Stop with this back and forth through emails and through releases and going through the media. Knock that off. So that's the easy part. But this part, I understand, is there's a lot of moving parts, and have some lateral movement in common sense even. And did you really believe it's a good look to your fan base that you want to frisk these guys? If there's a pitcher that's trying to hide some substances on his body right now, that would be a big D for dumb me. That's what that would be. You're giving these guys the heads up to knock it off today. Now, once things wear down a little bit, we work our way through this thing, maybe they don't check as much, and maybe someone's going to push the envelope and give it a try, Jeff. But just this checking the bat and glove like they're a criminal, and
yeah.
It screams that you are worried about cheating in baseball. It screams about that. Now, that's the whole intent here. I understand that. But you don't need to pile on the perception. There's already the steroid era and all the PEDs and all that sort of juice baseballs or cork bats or whatever you want to talk about. But don't show it to everyone. It should have been a mandate from MLB that the TV broadcast, you're not going to show this. It's not good for our product. It's not good for your ratings. It's not good for our money. If you're going to do this. Now, Jeff, your thoughts on just an embarrassing look all day long today.
Yeah, it's horrible, Timmy. You know, it reminds me of in the movie Major League, you know, where they ask Wild Thing where he pitched before, and he said, you know, the California Penal League. You know, that's how you imagine one of those games. You know, these guys are getting frisked, you know, walking off the mound. It's ridiculous. And are you going to tell me that if, you know, and I would put money down that Joe West is going to be the first one to find something and suspend, you know, get somebody suspended for 10 games. But say you're the first or, you know, even the 10th or the 100th pitcher that gets busted for having any kind of stickum on you, you're going to get a 10-game suspension. So you're telling
me...
with
pay.
Well, yeah, with pay. So, you know, yeah, I'm going to Hawaii. Thank you. But you're telling me that a suspension for that, but no active players got suspended for everything that happened with the Astros?
I didn't mind that.
I didn't
because they had to use the players to get to the bottom of that. And that's a whole sticky wicket, pardon the pun, in itself. I just think they had to have transparency there, and they had to cut a deal. They had to cut a plea deal, essentially, with the players.
And well, when really you're talking about a team that cheated to win a World Series, okay, and I don't have a big problem with what the Astros did. You know, I know it was illegal, but I like to live in the gray. You know, you're telling me that that's not as big of a deal as putting a little pine tar or something on a baseball?
So Major League Baseball mandates the enforcement of the rule that's already on the books starting today. They've had over two months of baseball games to take balls out of play, document who pitched it, where it came from, what game it was, spin rate. Now they go back and look at all the data that's involved in that particular game with that particular pitcher. So they did have enough data to do this. So the timing of this, and that's what a lot of people have a problem with, is the timing of this. But they had to have the data. And so once they got all that information, all through April, all through May, part of June, they throw it into the computer, and it comes out with this percentage of these baseballs, and they could name names if they wanted to, Jeff. They know where these baseballs came from. They were documented, taken out of play, and I would like to know what percentage of pitchers were using this, according to the analysis from Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Now, is it 75% of all the pitchers were doing this? Were they finding substances on what percentage of baseballs in play? Were there players using it more than once a week? If they're a reliever, were there players that they had 8 or 10 starts throughout the duration of our analysis, but we only found a foreign substance on two of those games with that pitcher. So all of this information, I think, would be valuable to me just to understand this thing a little bit more. One of two things happened, in my estimation. Either they were knocked over by the amount of pitchers that were doing it, like the higher percentage, upwards of 70, 80%, maybe more, I don't know. That's the thing. Or they found out that a select group that were having tremendous success were using it, but it was a small percentage. So I don't think it was anywhere in the middle. I think it was either staggering amounts or a small percentage, but they see the difference in the outcome.
Well, for them to do it this publicly, in front of the world on TV, they showed it multiple times getting, you know. Them frisking the pitchers, I think that the number was going to, you know, be large instead of small.
That's what I would assume. I'm leaning toward the larger percentage is what they found out in their data.
See, but, okay, now I know that I have, you know, fairly loose morals compared to most people. I don't mind people sitting there and trying to find an advantage any way they can. you know, there was they just came out saying that Arizona was using balls from the humidor, you know, when they mm-hmm. would pitch and then not when they weren't pitching. You know, there was all those reports of different dugouts, you know, that wouldn't have heat or air conditioning for the opposing team, but would have it for the home team. Stuff like that. I love all that stuff. Get any advantage you can.
Gamesmanship. Yeah. So that's why the league has to step in and take proprietary ownership over those baseballs. You're leaving them up to the home team. It's like an official score. Grew up in that city? Are you kidding me?
Oh, I know.
Really?
But it's like that, Timmy, in all sports, you know?
It is.
In the NBA, the guys that work the clocks, the shot clock, the game clock, and all that are the home team's guys.
Yeah.
They used to bring in their own from, you know, hired by the actual NBA to do it to make sure that everything was, you know, 100% on the up and up. And now it's not like that anymore.
Millions.
So they almost invite it.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And it's too tempting. And that's really a conversation I had last week. The footballs in the NFL. You bring your own footballs, game balls? You bring your own game balls. Really?
Well, the NFL doesn't have enough money to buy, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Hundreds of millions of dollars, and you cannot supply game balls. I'm not saying a fresh set of game balls every single game. I'm just saying you have ownership and control over those footballs, much the same in baseball. Number one, you track where these baseballs are made, and you make sure you govern them. They're the vital to your game. You keep messing around with baseballs. It's too tempting to do what you just said, Jeff. Humidor, no humidor, you know, climate control, do we store them here? Well, we'll store some, and then et cetera. Okay, so it's too tempting. Here's a solution. I don't know if this works or not. It's an embarrassing look. It is. I know the pitchers are laughing a little bit about it. And again, as I said, you would have to be the biggest dummy to try a foreign substance right now on that mound. That would be just, you've warned these pitchers. Nobody is going to do them right now. Why even check? They're not going to do it.
Well, okay. Tim, this reminds me of, and it's almost the exact same situation. Do you remember when they sat there and the first time that baseball was running the tests for steroids, and they said that if a certain percentage of the league tested positive, then they would start testing for steroids. Okay, so the only people, and obviously, you know, everything was supposed to be confidential and it all leaked out. Like it always does. But the people that failed that test have to be, you know, the absolute worst of the worst, you know, that have it. And the pitcher that gets busted with it is going to be a pitcher that absolutely needs to have it for the higher spin rate and everything else, or he can't pitch and stay in the league.
Yeah. And really, there's so much money on the line to some degree. I agree with, I think it was D. Gordon's cousin or maybe brother, I'm not sure, a family member of some sort, had said that, you know, I don't blame a player for doing that. What's the penalty if you try and juice up a little bit, beef up your numbers, get a 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 80 or $100 million contract, then lay off and you're fine, you're set, it's guaranteed in baseball. So why not this? Omar Narvaez takes a pitch from Hunter Strickland. And the umpire says, hey, timeout. Let me take a look real quick. The catcher takes his glove hand, puts it over his left shoulder, face up, ball's there, glove's there. Umpire checks the ball instead of the body or the hat or the pitcher's glove. Because isn't that what we're trying to enforce here? We're trying to enforce the doctoring of baseballs. We're not trying to enforce finding pine tar or sunscreen on someone's inner part of his belt. We're trying to find what's on the baseball. Let's stick it to the baseball. Not as embarrassing as a lot of other situations that we saw all day and all night tonight. Again, Omar just takes the glove, puts it face up over his left shoulder. Umpire takes the ball, inspects it right then and there. If he sees any blemish at all, it's taken out of play, or he takes that baseball and he walks directly to the mound. See, that's the thing. That, to me, has better optics than elevating the perception of cheating in a game we all love. You're doing that. You guys are doing that. The league is doing that. You're elevating, you know, people say perception is part of reality, and that's true. We're in the perception business when it comes to ratings. We're in the perception business when it comes to selling merchandise, selling tickets, selling all the concessions. That's what we're in. We want a good taste in their mouth. We want more of a wholesome kind of taste in their mouth, because then it hits more of a fan base that has money. Okay, this is not going to help you make money. You're going to get laughed at, number one. And number two, as I said, you're elevating the perception that these guys have been cheaters. Whether they have been or haven't been isn't the point. You're helping that stance and that opinion. Boy, these guys are cheating. They got to check everything inside their glove and underneath their sleeve, and they got to look at inside their belt, and they got to look in their hat. What if someone actually does want to wear some sunscreen as a ball player?
Yeah, it's like the umps are now TSA agents. Going to make these guys take off their shoes, throw the rosin bag through the metal detector. You know, it's like getting on an airplane.
The pine tar detector, and they'll bring out a little arch that you got to walk under, and a little beep will go off. But yeah, it's just, it didn't look good to me. And I think there were other ways to kind of enforce these types of things. And maybe there was an immediate inspection, ejection and suspension that could have been done, you know, a little bit more immediate on site. Again, money's not an issue with professional sports. It's not an issue. As much as they tell you it's an issue, it's not an issue. When Gerrit Cole is signing a $325 million deal, believe me, money's not an issue for these guys. So have reps at all 15 parks on a nightly basis, that a ball goes out of play and you inspect it immediately. It's done right there. And then go from there. But this whole circus act of, you know, I honestly, if I'm a pitcher, I'd be pissed.
Yeah,
some of them are laughing about it, Jeff, but I would be pissed.
Well, and the thing is, Tim, is like you said, okay, this isn't about money. Because if you're, you know, a Kershaw, or if you, you know, you're a DeGrom, one of the big money pitchers, and you get busted and you have to sit out for 10 games, oh, but you still get your check. The only ones that this is going to hurt are the guys hanging on to the last couple roster spots in the bullpen that need every advantage they can. These guys aren't making any money, so the appearance time that they're going to miss in those 10 games is equity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their chance to prove themselves, their opportunity, and you're going to kill those guys and not the guys that are the big money stars.
Yeah, and I just worry about the look of this long term. This can't go on. I mean,
it's
how long
awful.
Are you going to do this?
I don't know. It's
did
awful.
They set parameters on here? I didn't read that. We'll do this for the rest of the year, and then we'll retake a look at this thing. I hadn't read that, but maybe that's the case. But you're going to do this indefinitely with every pitcher?
Yeah.
Every one that comes off the mound, you're gonna case the joint, if you will?
Now say every pitcher comes up clean, but in Game 6 or Game 7 of the World Series, all of a sudden they find something? You know, are they going to enforce it then?
Yeah, exactly.
Unreal.
799-1250 if you want to join this conversation. We will get to Craig Counsell and Brett Anderson as well, as he left the game with a knee issue. We'll hear from Brett on that. Mike, you had a comment on the ball doctoring enforcement day today.
You know what's funny is it seems in baseball, the umpires, they want to be the show, like showmen, you know. I don't know. I don't know too much about the, but some guys are always going to cheat. I'm calling because I'm still excited about the Bucks, and I'm cleaning my garage. My wife's ticked off, and we can't win them all, but why do we have to be the ones to end their 17-game skid?
I know. That's the schedule. That is the schedule rearing its ugly head. Mike, have
hang
fun cleaning
there,
that garage.
Mike, what did you do to anger the Polish princess?
Well, how did you know she's Polish?
You told me. You told us on the air when you were about to give her a massage.
Yeah, I'll go in and give her a massage, and everything will be fine.
There you go.
But you didn't answer the question. Why are you in the doghouse?
Oh, because my garage is a mess, and I can't find anything, and she's disgusted by it.
Did you tell her that at least you're not Jackie Bradley Jr. hitting a .157?
When I played fast pitch softball, I used to hit about 600. So.
Hell yeah. Well, tell her next time that you're not hitting a buck, you know, 57, so she should back off a little bit.
Hey, 1 second, if you got a minute. I went to Wick Field and was watching a softball team practice. They let me take about 10 swings, which I haven't done in 30 years.
That is awesome.
And it felt good, but at least I didn't swing and miss. But I couldn't hit one very far. Have a good night, guys.
All right. That is cool. That's super cool.
Yeah,
I know Mike has
Mike.
had some health issues, too, recently, and that's pretty cool. All right, 799-1250 if you want to jump in here. Brewers fall 5-1. We'll hear from Craig Counsell on the other side here. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 1250 AM The Fan.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
Yeah, the Arizona Diamondbacks 17-game losing streak has ended tonight at the expense of a Brewers loss here. 5-1. Welcome back. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show with our friends at Great Lakes Dragway. No offense to speak of tonight, just the RBI two-out base hit in that first inning. And then the circus ensued here as some of these pitchers get looked at a little bit. And again, I gotta just wonder, does common sense prevail here a little bit? Like, if you're a pitcher right now, you might have to be the biggest dum-dum on the planet to doctor a baseball in a baseball game right now, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They're not going to catch anybody right now. They're not. So I think there was a way to implement this thing with a little better bedside manner, if you will. So, yeah, we'll see. Craig Counsell tends to believe that everybody will get through it, get used to it, and we'll move on, I think was one of the things that he said. And we'll see. But Brett Anderson, again, let me just say this. We're going to get an update from Counsell on him, and then we'll hear from Brett Anderson as well. When you look at the schedule, they're in this run of 33 games and 34 calendar days. And I understand that's kind of brutal in the game of baseball, and I get that. But sort of the standings and your win-loss record geography, if you will, I think dictates a little something to do with that. This is just me here. After this off day on Thursday, if I'm in charge, I go right back to my five-man rotation. I get a long man in that bullpen on short starts, or if you want to give someone a little bit of a break, then you short start him on your own, and you go that route. it's time to tap the accelerator a little bit. You can back down a little bit in July. Once you get to mid to late July, back down a little bit. Maybe go to a six-man once or twice through and give them an extra day or skip a start here and there. But I think it's time to build a cushion. You're at 40-33 right now. You're atop the National League Central. You're within, I think coming into play today, guys, you were within three wins of the best record in baseball. I mean, think about that. Tap, I'm not saying go hard like it's September push, but I think maybe just tap the accelerator a little bit and get back to a regular rotation. I think Burns and Peralta and these guys would appreciate that. They're so used to this four-day rest, and I want to pitch. And people say that they're creatures of habit, and that's why offense and baseball was a little funky last year because they were out of habit, out of routine. Put them back into routine here just for about, well, what do we got here? We've got this off day Thursday. Then it's a run right to the All-Star break on July 11th. That's the final game before the All-Star break. Go with the five-man there. I think it does cure a few things there, but that's just me. Let's hear from Craig Counsell after the Brewers fall in Arizona 5-1 the final.
Craig, what's your initial read on Brett and you know whether this is an IL or not an IL?
Yeah, he's got a knee contusion. Kind of when he hit first base, just kind of jarred his knee a little bit. It's likely IL is what I'd say.
Craig, considering how early he went out in the game, how pleased were you with the performance of the bullpen, being able to cover the rest of the way and really not give much up?
Yeah, I mean, the bullpen did great. I mean, six and two-thirds, two runs. Jake Cousins had, you know, great debut. Was really proud of him, happy for him. You know, Richards did a heck of a job kind of limiting the damage. And it's 3-1 at that point. He went out and put up another zero. And, you know, the game was under control, really. Ultimately, we didn't have a good offensive night. So, you know, we gave ourselves a shot, you know, after, you know, losing a starter in the second inning with some traffic on the bases. So they did their jobs, and obviously we're going to be tight tomorrow, and, you know, we're likely to make some moves here, but, you know, the guys that pitched it well.
You talked about the slider with Jake Cousins. I mean, what did that pitch show you tonight and just the swing and miss he was able to get?
Yeah, I mean, well, he's got a good slider. I think that's clear, and it's paired with the plus velocity. So it's a good combination. And, you know, when he was – I guess the other thing was that just he's able to stay in the strike zone with his stuff, and that's always a big sign for – you know, a pitcher coming in is, can you get outs in the strike zone? And I thought he got its outs in the strike zone. I thought he got some chase with it. So those are both very positive signs. And like I said, it was a very, very good debut.
Craig, was there anything physically behind Yelich's exit from the game?
No, just double switch.
Was part of that just getting him off his feet? He's played a lot for you since coming back.
Yeah, I mean, this was a little bit, you know, we were only down four at that point, but just with the weekend in Colorado, you know, he had one at bat left essentially in the game. So it was just get him a couple innings, get him some innings off his feet. He had a tough day yesterday, a long day yesterday with that ninth inning stuff. So just get him off his feet.
Craig, we talked about it. That team has been down lately, but the way they played defense tonight and the way Kelly pitched, is it one of those nights where there is some kind of tip your cap to a good performance to the other side?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't play net well enough to win. That's for sure. So their guy pitched a nice game. They they made some very nice defensive plays. You know, that's how you win games.
Craig, how did you feel the umpires handled the first night of checking the pitchers and everything? Not too much disruption of game flow or anything like that?
Yeah, I really didn't even notice it. I mean, I didn't. I looked at it once, and you know, it was, I think everybody had their kind of eye on it the first time it happened, and fairly uninteresting after that.
Craig, beyond if you have to make moves tomorrow just to sort of fill in to get through these couple of days, how do you feel like you are with starting pitching depth at this point with Josh working things out in Nashville and now maybe Brett missing some time? Do you feel like there's sufficient depth there?
Yeah, well, we've been going with six starters, so that's always an option as well. We have an off day coming up, so there's, you know, that's part of the reason that, you know, if we ever have to go to five, I think that's a thing we can do. If we otherwise, we'll count on somebody from Nashville, but that's at this point, that's, you know, a ways away. So with the off day and everything, so no, we got plenty of time to think about that and consider that.
Let's find out the play of the game, brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and smart home technology, simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
There you heard it from Craig Counsell. You know, if we have to stick with this six-man rotation, well, I got a little bit of an answer there. I will say this, and I wish him the best of luck, but if you're going to stick with a six-man rotation for the duration of the season here moving forward, I know a lot can happen. I get that. But if you're looking at your five-man with an injury to Anderson, if you're looking at your fifth guy, an Eric Lauer, and your six-man, a Josh Lindblom, I don't know if that makes me feel very comfortable. Nothing against those guys, but that just doesn't scream dominating to me. I don't know about you, Jeff, but that doesn't scream domination.
No.
Now the front three and four, I mean, I'm good with that. I really think Hauser is probably underappreciated here as the four starter. So your front four are looking good. Get one to settle into that five man. Just go back to a five man, like I said.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't have a whole lot of faith with, you know, Lindblom and a guy from Nashville. You know, five man's the way to go after the day off. That's for sure.
I'm hoping, but that's not going to happen. I think they're going to run the six man all the way to the All-Star break, and maybe after that. We'll see. All right, play the game with ABC Audio Video. You lose 5-1. We've been in this spot before. You always go with the one. That was the first inning, Avi Garcia.
And Garcia, a liner on the left center field, a base hit. And once again, the Brewers get on the board in the opening inning. RBI knock for Garcia as Wong will score.
Yeah, there it was on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Matt LePay, Bill Schroeder on the call tonight as the Brewers fall 5-1 and Brett Anderson a short start. You know, Counsell was right on his bullpen that they actually pitched really well. I mean, your starter goes out after an inning and a third, and you fill the void with just two runs out of that bullpen the rest of the way out. This is one of those games where the offense could have picked it up. The offense did pick up a couple of wins over the weekend when the pitching let up a little bit. That was a good sign. I really enjoyed that over the weekend, that you put up six runs in a win, seven runs in a win, so the offense picked up where the pitching was a little light. Love that timing. Could have happened again tonight, but just not the case, as the offense musters up just that one run. Brett Anderson, as I mentioned, the short star. We're going to hear from the Brewers left-hander next. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. There's Jeff Orlowski, Tim Allen, and a Brewers 5-1 loss tonight. We'll be right back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse, presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
Unfortunate outing for Brett Anderson tonight as he only goes an inning and a third, and he jammed his knee up a little bit on a play toward first base. We're going to hear from Brett in just a second. 5-1 final as the Brewers fall in game one of this three-game set. They've done fairly well. Well, that might be an understatement. Now 15 and five against the West here this year in 21. But they're going to have to bounce back and take game two, set them up for a series victory on Wednesday. So tomorrow's game is pretty pivotal within this series. And once you know it, you look at the scoreboard and you see every time the Brewers win, the Cubs win. Every time the Cubs lose, the Brewers lose. They're just going toe-to-toe here. Some separation with the Reds and Cardinals. But again, the way the schedule matches up, it's a lot of head-to-head in division. So you're going to see some bouncing here in the second half of the season. And really leading up to the All-Star break, Brewers have some pretty key series against the Cincinnati Reds before and after the All-Star break. Got the Rockies coming into American Family Field, so you've got some challenges in front of you. And then the Cubs on Monday, that is going to be something else. I mean, you've got the Cubs coming in for a three-game set on Monday, and Tuesday it'll be a Cub game and a Milwaukee Bucks game. So all hell's going to break loose as the Bucks and Brewers both in play on Tuesday night. Let's get to Brett Anderson, the Brewers left-hander. A really unfortunate night again as he leaves early.
Hey, Brett, can you explain what happened there in the second inning with your knee?
Yeah, I jammed it on the double play when I hit, and then it got progressively worse and worse there in the second. I didn't really hyperextend or anything. I guess I hit the bag quicker than I thought I was going to. Which the crazy part about it is I executed the slash about as good as, in theory, as good as I possibly could. If Ahmed, like I said, in theory, does what he's supposed to do and cover second for a bunt, then it's a single and maybe first and third, and hopefully good things happen. But it's not kind of was what was meant to be. And then felt okay in the second, just got tighter and progressively worse and worse, and the initial like diagnosis, I guess, is a bone bruise in my knee.
Is it something that they're talking about putting you on the IL for, or is it too early to say?
Yeah, it's too early to say. It's going to come in tomorrow and see how it feels, and hopefully there's not a ton of swelling and stuff like that. But it's unfortunate. I felt good in the first, and then even the second there, I think Walker hit his ball fairly hard, but the other ones, not a lot of hard contact. Just couldn't get it to hit him at somebody, a bunch of ground balls or kind of bloopers and stuff like that. And so, the Diamondbacks, it's still a tough lineup. They've been scoring runs. They finally got a good pitching performance to match their offensive capabilities. And, that's what it takes to win a game.
Right. When you were hurt earlier this year, it was sort of around the knee, wasn't it? Is this something that's completely different in your mind than that?
Yeah. I mean, it's on the other side of the knee. The first one in the Cubs, the outside, and this is the inside. Like I said, the initial diagnosis is just a deep bone bruise, I guess, and kind of got progressively worse and worse as the inning went on, and kind of started to stiffen up, and not really a lot of swelling, but just kind of tender, and it was to not make it any worse, time to get out of there. It was unfortunate. I mean, this is the second time. Never had, knock on wood, any lower body injuries, or anything up until this year, which is kind of a fluky deal, but hopefully I wake up and it's not too bad tomorrow and we can kind of go from there.
So then you walk off the mound, you're heading toward the dugout, and the umpires walk up and they start checking you. Was that kind of insult to injury at that point? No pun intended.
No, I mean, you knew they were going to, because I asked him in the first if he could check me, because I'm not cheating. And so he said, no, I'll get you later. And I don't think he anticipated it being that quick, but I just wanted to get it over with, to one, get the first check over with, and then two, to see what the kind of protocols or what the standards and practices of the, how they're going to go about it. But I would rather not have that happen in that situation, but I knew they were going to, just based on not checking me after the first or before the first.
seems like it's kind of a, I wouldn't say a friendly thing, but I mean, both parties know what they're doing. You just kind of get it over with and you try to make it as quick as possible. It seems like, does that sound about right?
Yeah. Until the crew chief is back there behind home plate and balls a strike. And then it probably wouldn't be as amicable as it was today. But that's to be determined, as far as lining up with the home plate and everything like that. But, a situation where they check Soria before the inning and then he gives it up and you got to check him, whatever. It's one of those. I mean, there's going to be some trials and tribulations as far as that stuff goes. But for day one, it's about as seamless as you can get. But we'll see how it is going forward.
Okay, so it was after the Butcher Boy play in which he was trying to beat out a double play. Okay, so there you go, Brett Anderson. So that's good, fairly good news there that it's nothing major. And then getting checked, again, wouldn't you, Jeff, love to get a 10-day suspension with pay and then maintain your job?
Absolutely. Tim, my whole goal my entire life is to be a ghost payrollee. I want to get paid to do nothing, not show up, and just, sit at home, sit on my couch and watch TV and get paid for it.
It's just, and maybe someone is just going to do it. One of these pitchers are just going to do it just to get themselves in a history sort of mode. Hey, I was the first one. not do it after that. But there ain't nobody that's going to have any foreign substance on a baseball right now. You've given them warning so you can catch them. They're not going to do it now. They're going to wait until the dust settles. I mean, come on.
But they have to do something. They can't continue showing these guys getting frisked off the mound every single inning on TV. I wasn't at the game tonight because I'm not, I don't know what it's like in person, but it looked ridiculous on TV.
Yeah, it's just not a good look.
They have to change.
That's the bottom line. Yeah, it's just not. All right. Game two, tomorrow, first pitch, 8:40 our time. After the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll be right here. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Zach Gollin goes for the Diamondbacks, a 1-2 mark. And a 3.99 earned run average, Freddie Peralta on the hill. His 2.28 sparkling ERA and a 6-2 mark. He's going to try and get the crew to bounce back with a victory. Could use a deep start out of Freddie Peralta. So we'll see you after the game. For Jeff Orlowski, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great morning. And remember, despite the outcome, as always, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.